Hello, I'm Jo Fay, and this is a Swiss Info podcast. Swiss Info is the multilingual and international public media company of Switzerland. Are you one of the many people who gets hay fever? What about dust or certain foods? In Davos, in the Swiss Alps, around 50 biologists, doctors, and biochemists are trying to figure out what's causing allergies and how they can help people with prevention or treatment. This is the third in a six-part series on science from Davos. It's part of a selection of audio content from Swiss Info in English. The famous ski resort of Davos is located at 1,560 metres above sea level in the Swiss Alps. Tuberculosis patients went there in the 18 and 1900s after scientists discovered that the clean mountain air had a positive effect on their health. Today, it's still the air that draws asthma and allergy patients who are looking for treatment in the town's clinics. Its location means there are extremely low amounts of indoor dust mites, tree pollen, and minimal air pollution. Thanks to the proximity to allergy patients, Davos has also become an ideal location for research in this field. Sara Ibrahim and Michele Andina visited the Swiss Institute of Allergy and Asthma Research last winter to see what they found out so far. Here's Sara.
Morgen!
We're standing in front of an institute born in 1988, specialized in research into asthma and allergies. Allergic diseases have become more and more prevalent in recent decades. Today, more than 1 billion people suffer from allergies. Why are so many of us afflicted by this condition?
Do you speak Italian a bit?
I understand.
We asked Chesmi Actis, the director of the Swiss Institute of Allergy and Asthma Research, about this.
So there are very major changes in humanity, which is a big challenge for humanity for the next decades. One of them is global warming and climate change. Here in the Institute, we are doing carbon dioxide research for global warming and climate change, and looking at how carbon dioxide affects our cells at the molecular level. This research is on one side. The second challenge to humanity is that there is increased exposure to toxic molecules. After 1960s, there was 350,000 chemical molecules were introduced to our lives. And this is a high number, and many of them ended up as pollutants, but some of them are affecting our lives very badly. So this is a very major research area in our institute. We call this the epithelial barrier theory. So these cells are at the surface of our skin or mucosa, in the lung, in the respiratory mucosa, or in the gastrointestinal system. Mm-hmm. And these cells are getting sick when they are exposed to these materials. And our main research is focusing on understanding of the molecular mechanisms, cellular mechanisms, and how so many diseases are happening. Currently, 1 out of 4 people have one kind of a chronic disease, like allergies affecting about 10 to 20% of the population, atopic dermatitis about 10% of the population, allergic rhinitis 20% of the population in Switzerland.
The institute grew out of the Tuberculosis Research Institute Davos, founded in 1905.
Karl Turban was the first doctor who initiated high altitude research. So he was interested that there are so many patients coming to high altitude to the sanatoriums. And around 1903, he established the Tuberculosis Research Institute. And Alexander Spengler is the person who initiated high altitude treatment in 1850s. So he brought the high altitude treatment to Davos, and he established it also in the world. And many centers followed on the Alps, also in Denver, Colorado. High altitude treatment was followed in the right way, because tuberculosis patients, when they were coming here, Alexander Spengler realized that they are healing, they are getting better. High altitude has an effect. The first one is the environment is very healthy here. There is not much pollution. There is almost very few house dust mite. There is no pollens that make inflammation in the lungs. So the air quality is amazingly good compared to an inner city. The second thing, in our molecular research, we understood that there are cells which are developing to keep the inflammation at the low level, are increasing in the body in high altitude, and they make the inflammation in the lungs because of tuberculosis at the low level. So the patients do not get so sick, and the treatment works to kill the mycobacteria in a better way. This is a laboratory site.
Chesmi Aktis takes us on a tour through the laboratories.
Good morning, Han. This is the BSL-2 laboratory.
How many female scientists are working here? Do you know?
Around 65% is female. So
it's a high percent.
Our gender balance is perfect.
Today, high-tech tools are used to examine human cells and to find the causes of diseases.
Here is a very front instrument also. It is called a Hyperion and Helios. And these instruments are analyzing cells in a very detailed way. So the cells are passing through the laser, and the laser beams can analyze the molecules that are around the cell and can identify these molecules very significantly. And one of them is for tissue sections. The other one is for single cells.
Mm-hmm. These are all cutting-edge machines.
Very front technologies.
And
it exists in 4 or 5 places in the whole Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. And how is the process when you have to work on molecule cells and to demonstrate, for instance, the cause of an allergy? How do you work? How do you use all these instruments? Is there a procedure that you follow or?
In free research, we don't have we have protocols to do the research, but we have free thinking. So we are meeting together, looking at the results, and planning new research, planning new work for the technicians, for the students, for the postdoctoral fellows. And this free thinking and free discussion environment is very important. So we don't put the brains in a certain shape, but we want them to shape the world. So we want them to change the world or make solutions for the problems of the nature, problems of the human health.
Mm-hmm. Katja Bärenfaller is head of molecular allergology. She shows us how one of their most expensive instruments works.
So this is a mass spectrometer that measures proteins. From the data, we can determine which proteins are contained in a sample, which proteins change under certain conditions, and what changes when people are sick. Because proteins are the part in the cell that are responsible for making everything work, they are the workhorses in the cell. So if we examine the proteins, we can always see what exactly is happening. This thing cost 1.4 million Swiss francs.
Wow.
We also noticed the emergency showers in the hallways.
Das Vorschrift in Labors.
That's the regulation for laboratories. Down in the chemical room, there are enough chemicals to poison half of Switzerland. If I have an accident and spill an acid or a base on myself, I can stand under this shower.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take morning showers here.
Okay.
Can we show some EVOs?
In another room, we are looking at lung cells under a microscope. These are grown in an incubator and used to test toxic substances. Here's Chesmi Aktis again.
These are small 3 millimeter lungs. Mm-hmm. They are in culture. You can see the cells and the small, this is the small lung.
Mm-hmm. And where do you take these tissues from?
From human biopsies, you grow the cells and then you make them like a lung.
Here. Okay, so you can create them from biopsy here?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, the concept of toxicity has changed. Before, they were looking if the mouse are dying or not.
Yeah.
They are calculating the lethal dose. Currently, we can calculate the molecular toxicity dose. That's what we are doing now. We are not looking at death only. We are looking at disease, with what's happening, what is taking place. Molecular changes, metabolic changes of the cell. And if the cell is going into the direction of a disease, and we can understand this very early. So exposure to chemicals, detergents, or air pollution, or food additives and ingredients, they are all affecting our lives badly because they are changing the character of our cells. So we are talking about climate change in the nature, and we are also working on climate change inside our body because there's a climate change of our cells. When we eat packaged food, we can now follow what kind of molecular changes are happening in our body. When a baby is exposed to Saharan dust, what is happening in the lungs of this baby? Exposed to diesel exhaust, exposed to air pollution, particulate matter, we can understand that the changes will lead one day to asthma, to COPD, so to one of the chronic diseases.
Sure. And for instance, climate change or Sahara dust arrives also here in Davos, so
yes.
In a place so high like Davos today, right? So it's a big problem today.
Yes, even in Davos, we can see that mainly particulate matter, 2.5, which is coming from Sahara, is increasing in certain days of the year and going to very high levels. At that days, mainly the patients who have lung disease, who have respiratory disease, should stay at home. They shouldn't be exposed. They shouldn't go to running outside. And that's a very important thing, that we are understanding that these Saharan dust is making lung inflammation. We are showing molecular mechanisms. And we are also trying to understand and find solutions for this, to develop certain medicine that overcomes the negative effect of this environmental exposure.
Okay. Great, thank you. I think, do you have any...
Our Science and Davos series is also available as short videos. Go to swissinfo.ch and search for Science Davos. We'll be back with more microscopic particles next time when Sarah and Michele visit a meteorological observatory in Davos. Today's episode was recorded and edited by our science and video journalist Michele Andina. For more content, visit our website swissinfo.ch. I'm Jo Fay, thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Imogen Folks from Swiss Info's Inside Geneva podcast. On February 24th, 2022, Russia attacked Ukraine. The invasion caused Europe's largest refugee crisis since World War II. And during the year-long conflict, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people, soldiers and civilians, have been killed. Over the past year, a number of episodes of Inside Geneva have looked at the heavy humanitarian toll of the war and its wider implications for the world. We've been joined by historians and international human rights experts to ask about the background to the invasion. We've talked to major UN aid agencies about how the war in Ukraine is impacting other humanitarian crises. And we've asked if sanctions or war crimes investigations can stop or at least limit this conflict. If you're particularly concerned by the war in Ukraine, do listen to these episodes. You can find Inside Geneva, free to listen, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and all your usual podcast apps.